Not a great education I've had. I'm self-taught. I left Bovington Gurney with a degree in performing arts and a certificate in falconry. I've pursued various lines of intellectual endeavour. None, really, to any great conclusion. I tried philosophy. Philosophy is, to my mind, a lot of hypothetical, introspective piffle. Of no use at all. A lot of it is questions like, a tree falls in the forest, no one sees it, does it make a sound? You know, I couldn't care less, really. But a philosopher worries about that sort of stuff, you know? Does it make a sound? Doesn't it make a sound? Doesn't it make a sound? Doesn't it make a sound? Just before they die, oh my God, I could have been out drinking, having a laugh, you know? So, I didn't get anywhere with that. And I decided to pursue science. Now, let's go right in there at the top level. I started to read a bit of Stephen Hawking, the most brilliant mind on the planet, this brilliant theoretical physicist. So I decided to read A Brief History of Time. Now, I don't know if anyone else has attempted it, but it's a very daunting task, really, because, you know, time, you think, how can that have a history? Surely time is an unbroken chain, stretching off into the future, back into the past. How can such a thing have a history? And anyway, if it's infinite, how can it be brief? I thought to myself, I can't even get past the title. So I put that to one side and read a bit of Tom Clancy. Now, Clancy is a little bit more straightforward, you know. He's got a very simple view of the world, good versus evil. Evil seems to get the upper hand. Good triumphs with vastly superior automatic weapons. So you read one book, you pretty much got it there. So I did that. And back to Hawking. Now, the thing with the book is that what he's writing about is so dense, it's so vast, it's almost too much for the human brain to encompass. He talks about the fact that our solar system is one of 100,000 million others that make up the galaxy, and the galaxy is one of 100,000 million other galaxies that make up the universe. Now, that is a billion, billion things by page two. I can't actually think of that number of things. A billion, billion? I can barely think of eight things, you know. Maybe nine, possibly ten. And then my eyes glaze over. I have to sit down and eat a sandwich. So it's very, very hard. And so I'm thinking, maybe I'm looking at this book the wrong way. I'm looking at it like it's a scientific textbook. I should maybe come at it from an oblique angle. Maybe look at it like it's a work of romantic fiction, a bit of romantic melodrama, perhaps. Take it to a meadow and riffle through it with some wine, perhaps. Imagine it's a bit of Jane Austen, you know. Oh, Mr. Knightley. I'm confused and not a little annoyed. It seems that even non-rotating black holes create and emit particles at a steady rate. Oh, tush and fie, Emma. Quantum mechanics tells us the particles are created just outside the black hole's event horizon. Oh, Mr. Knightley, my synapses are shutting down. So, you know, makes it a little bit easier, you know. Clancy, vastly improved, you know. Oh, Mr. Darcy, thank you for the gift of the Uzi. Well, my dear Elizabeth, with its lightweight barrel and high rate of fire, it is indeed one of the most sought-after light weapons in the world. Oh, Mama. So, yeah, the single Zen clap of acceptance. Can we just practice that after three? One, two, three. Yeah, there we are. Let's have it. We'll save that. Anyway, so I went back to Hawking. I thought, here we go. This is where I really get to grips with it. Yeah, I got about halfway through the book, and I actually thought I understood a bit of it. He said something quite profound. I thought, wait a minute, I understand that. Wait a minute. Went back a few pages, and he says that light is affected by gravity. And I thought to myself, what you're trying to say there is that it's easier to drop things in the dark. Yeah, I've noticed that, yeah. And then he'd follow it up by saying, according to Pauli's exclusion principle, if the neutron is separated from the quark, then the universe is reduced to a rich soup or indeed any hot beverage. towards the end of the book, it's just pictures of cats and word search, because he thinks nobody's going to get this far. It's a cat. It's definitely a cat, you know. I don't know. I was quite surprised and shocked by the conclusion, because I imagine Hawking, being a scientist, would have a very dry academic view of the birth of the universe. No, he's a deeply spiritual man. And he says towards the end of the book, he says, well, about the universe and everything, I reckon maybe God did it. I'm off. That's it. So there you have the most brilliant mind on the planet actually admitting that maybe God did all this anyway. You know, you can understand a bit how, but not the why. So maybe I had to change my whole belief systems. I'm not particularly religious. Well, maybe Stephen Hawking, he said, well, maybe there's a God. So I think, I'll take that on board. I have to take that because he's done all the research. He's done the work, put the time in. I'm not actually that qualified, you know, in... All I've got is a degree in performing arts and an otter handling license, you know. So, I mean... And anyway, I'm a relaxed empiricist, like many of you. You know, I'm not a staunch empiricist, someone who demands actual, tangible proof of something before they believe it to be true. I'm more sort of relaxed empiricist, which means I only believe something is true if somebody a little bit cleverer than me tells me that is pretty much what happened. So... okay, maybe there's a God. Maybe then this was all created. And then you start thinking, well, maybe that's true. You look at the Earth, this extraordinary, teeming, diverse, amazing planet, this globe, in our solar system. It's unique in the entire cosmos. If you look at the other planets, they're not up to much, really, are they? Mercury, nothing. Venus, nothing. Earth, look at it, teeming. Teeming with hummus and magnets, anything you want. And every new development from the space program is greeted with lesser and lesser enthusiasm. We don't care anymore, really. We found moss on Mars. Ooh, whoop-de-doo. Well, there we are, then. You've proved there's a park bench up there or something, you know. Who cares? Do you know what I mean? The space program is like a mad dad with a metal detector on a deserted wintry beach. And we're the family saying, come in, there's nothing out there. Vermont. So, I don't have very staunch religious beliefs, but maybe Stephen Hawking, he believes it. Well, then I've got to follow in, you know. And even if you have no religious beliefs, we are confronted all the time in our daily lives by the possibilities of the existence of some form of higher intelligence. Even if you do something very mundane, like hire a car. I was renting a car, and he said... in the insurance policy, you're not covered for acts of God. I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, you know, like that. I said, he'd be more specific. And he went, you know, look out. And I said, yeah, you're freaking me out. What exactly does he mean? And he said, well, stuff that's beyond our remit. I said, don't give me that rubbish language. But just explain what you mean. You say acts of God, therefore you mean you believe in God and not gods or spirits or jinn or nymphs, but... God, therefore a monotheistic religion, a Judeo-Christian religion, I put it to you. Therefore you believe in the creation, and therefore you believe that man was given free will and determinism, so logically anything that man does, directly or indirectly, is in fact an act of God. So I'm not covered for anything. And he said, I'll get the manager. And I said... define an act of God. What exactly do you mean by that? And he said, well, I don't know, a flood or something. I said, what, a giant flood? The earth is covered in water. An ark pulls up like that. All the animals fire. We'll all be destroyed. The policy's academic. And he said, well, I don't know, a plague or something. Oh, what, a plague? A plague? A plague of locusts swarmed round a vehicle, ripped the wing mirrors off. I'm liable for £50 excess. What exactly do you mean? And he said, I don't know, rain. I said, well, how much rain? How much rain qualifies as an act of God? At what point does precipitation reach a certain level that it is now takes on the more apocalyptic mantle of the water-based punishment of the Lord? And he said, look, I just work Saturdays. You know, just give us a break. I said, you can't answer me, can you? Your policy is riddled with theological inconsistency. Anyway, Then the manager came out and he said, look, I can offer you an upgrade on the policy for £50. We can include in the policy laws set in place by the Marquis de Laplace, the French scientist who declared that everything in the universe is predetermined. So you would be covered even if time travel is invented during the period of rental. I said, yeah, I'll probably leave it. Anyway, you've been a lovely crowd. I'm Bill Bailey. See you again. Good night. There you go. Thank you. Oh. That was just a short interval. So...